The week's gotten longer. I mean, some days I feel like that, don't you? That there's just not enough hours in the day. And sometimes I wonder, you know, just there's just those days that you have, aren't they? You know, that you're like, man, you just kind of get overwhelmed with things. And a lot of things I wonder about sometimes. I talk to a lot of people throughout the week, and man, some of the stories, some of the things that people are going through at times is overwhelming for me even, you know, and I know it's overwhelming for them. And my heart just breaks sometimes. I get so burdened for people that, you know, and I wish I could just like snap my fingers and make things go away and make things better, but sometimes it just doesn't work that way. And I, you know, a lot of things I don't understand. A lot of things I wonder about. A lot of things I get nervous about sometimes too. Like when you go to the store and you pay for something with cash and you wonder, sometimes when they take that little marker and cross it, you're thinking, boy, I hope that's real. You know? You ever wonder that? Yeah. You're like, you're kind of getting nervous, like, okay, what if it's not real? It's like, what would I do? You know, but counterfeiting is not just an issue with cash. You know, there's lots of counterfeits. We got to be aware of those things a lot. You know, we have software. There's counterfeit software, especially, you know, you have these scammers all the time trying to take your money. And you have pharmaceuticals. There's a lot of things going around that's not real. It's not the right thing. And I would say, I would warn people to be careful with that too, especially young kids. Man, we have a drug epidemic in this world today that's beyond anything that we could ever imagine. And kids are dying because they ordered something on the internet thinking it was one thing and it was something else, and it takes their life. And it happens. That's scary, isn't it? I think about all the things that are counterfeit. Sometimes we think we're getting a good deal on something on eBay, Evil Bay, I call it. Yeah. We think, oh man, that's a great deal. I mean, you buy a $500 item for 50 bucks. I mean, it's a good deal until you get it home and it works one time and then you throw it out in the yard, you know. I don't do that. You come by the parsonage, there's just not stuff thrown out in the yard. Not today, anyway. So, you know, we find these things that are really counterfeit. It's an imitation of the real thing, right? And we know that there is counterfeit money. And every now and then you hear on the news that somebody was passing $20 bills or something like that. They weren't real. They look real. I mean, we got printers today that print things that look almost perfect, don't they? You know, there's counterfeit religions too. There are. There's cults out there. We call those cults. But they use a lot of the same terminology as Christianity. They're real close. They look like they're the real deal on the outside. They present themselves as real. But really on the inside, they're counterfeit. You know, I think that can happen. What happens with money and clothes and all kinds of things can happen also to Christians. And look at what Paul said to Timothy here in 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 9. He said, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days, and people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Have nothing to do with them. Man, those are some pretty bold words, isn't it? Aren't they? What happened to, you know, getting along with everybody? What happened to that, you know? But man, I see a lot of this right here. And this was written to Timothy, you know, a couple thousand years ago, close to it now, you know. And yet it's still just as relevant today as it was then. We see these same things happening in today's times, don't we? Same things that he warned Timothy about. That's Paul's way of saying there are counterfeit Christians out there. They have a form of godliness. But when you look down deep inside of them, that form of godliness is on the outside. They dress the right way. They put on a good facade on the outside, but inside, they're not real. They deny God's power. Jesus told a group of religious guys one time, he said, "You're like whitewashed tombs. You're all pretty on the outside. You're all proper, and you put on a good show, but down inside, you're dead. You're just dead inside. On the outside, you can barely tell them apart, people apart, but on the inside, they lack power. It's an issue of a divided heart, isn't it? They're not just fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Jesus wants all of you, not just part of you. He wants all of your heart, not just part of your heart. He wants all of your life, not just part of your life. A lot of times we have a tendency to give part of our time to God, but not all of our time to God. And I mean that spiritually. You know what a counterfeit is? Is an imitation of the real thing, right? Amen. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, in this letter to the church here, Paul, he outlines the qualities that will be evident in the life of an authentic Christian. And we know this scripture real well because I preached a series on it not too long ago, didn't I? And it's, but when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, listen to me, He will produce this kind of fruit in us. He will produce love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, amen, gentleness and self-control. So that's what authentic Christians should possess, is each of these qualities. And as we mature, they should increase in our life. Not just plane off, not descend as we get older. They should increase as we get older and more mature. Nobody likes a counterfeit. And nobody wants counterfeit money, do we? I mean, you take your Monopoly money and you go to town and try to buy something. They're going to look at you and like, what? You know, I'm not interested in counterfeit religion myself. Are you? And I don't think anybody wants to be around counterfeit Christians either. And that may be the greatest indifference we have in our communities right now, is what people have been shown, or what's been displayed out of churches, out of church people. How's that? So I guess my message to every Christian today is we need to get real, right? Amen. We need to get real. We need to be authentic. We need to be genuine. We need to be what God has called us to be. And we don't need to settle for being any pale imitation of what God called us to be. That's as a church and that's as an individual. I don't want to be that. myself. I want to be who God called me to be. I want to be the same guy that when I stand up here and preach, I want to be the same guy as what you see me out on the street or anywhere else I go. I'm the same guy. I'm not changed. I'm not different. So we need to decide, I think, today. I would ask you that. I mean, that's like putting you on the spot, isn't it? Today. We're going to decide when it comes to our faith that we're going to follow Christ as a genuine article of who we say we are. And that's Christ's followers. Amen? We claim that we are Christ. We're Christians. We're Christians, right? We claim that we're Christians and we need to be who we say we are. And what's that mean to you? Read your Bible and you'll find out. I'm putting you on the spot again there, aren't I? 2 Corinthians 13:5. This is a little different translation. I don't know if I got this. So it says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. Wow. I like this translation. It says, check up on yourselves. Are you really Christians? Do you pass the test? Do you feel Christ's presence and power more and more within you? Or are you just pretending to be Christians when you really aren't at all? Wow. So I want to ask you some questions this morning. I think some important questions. Let's determine this morning whether you're authentic or not. And I'm not going to make you take a test or anything like that, raise your hand or whatever. But I want you to think about it in your own heart, in your own mind. When you leave here this morning, you're settled with that, right? You know who you are. Kind of like a spiritual checkup. We go to the doctor every now and then, or at least once a year to get a checkup, don't we? Find out if we're healthy. And I think, shouldn't we do that in our spiritual life too? Shouldn't we check up on ourselves to see if we're real or not? I think it's a test between you and the Holy Spirit. And I'm not here, like I said, I'm not here to judge or condemn anybody. Jesus said that. He said, I'm not here to condemn anybody. I'm here to bring salvation to everybody. So that all could be saved, right? Psalms 139, verse 23 and 24 says this, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. Investigate my life, O God. Find out everything about me. Cross-examine and test me. Get a clear picture, really, of what I am all about and who I am. Am I real? Am I genuine? Am I authentic? Am I real at home? First question. Am I real at home? You know, we have all kinds of things. We've got TV cameras. They go into homes and they to a supposedly normal family. And we've even got sitcoms on TV that are supposedly normal family. And some of those are called reality TVs. And then some, you know, the sitcoms. And they're supposed to be normal families. And they teach our society that that is normal, right? And I can watch some of those shows and I'm like, that's not normal. That's not normal where I come from. So I would ask you, let's suppose that there were cameras in your house. And there were cameras that, you know, they were hidden cameras. what would they show in your life? What would they show in your life?
Movies.
Movies? A movie of your life. If you didn't know you were being watched, what could we learn about you? If we could watch 1 week of your life, what would we see? Would we see authentic Christian behavior? Or would we see something much different?
Much different.
Surely, I don't know, I guess, in a home of truly authentic Christians, I'm sure that we wouldn't see anything but Bible reading several times a day, right? Prayer, people would be on their knees praying. We would see all that stuff, right? Over the past week, as we watch your life, would we ever see you pray? Would we see you read your Bible? Would we see that? I think that's a reasonable expectation, wouldn't it? What would we see when it comes to interaction with your spouse and children? Well, that's something we all got to work on, isn't it? Being real. How about words you speak? Are they seasoned with love? Would we see a sense that Christ is in the center of your household or something else? If it was unedited and uncensored, could I show it here in the church? If we were to watch your life for an entire week on hidden camera, what would we learn about you? How do you spend your time behind closed doors? Would we be surprised at what we see, your choices that you make, and how would we rate it? Would it be G? PG? PG 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18?
PG
13. Yeah? Or would it be for mature audiences only? You know, what would we see? You know, these things, they do. They determined the perception people have of you, right? How they see you. And you know, I've said this before, and I got to be honest. You guys here this morning are this church. So you represent this church, right? And you don't just represent this church when you show up on Sunday morning. You represent this church when you're doing your life outside here. And when people see you and how you act and who you are, and if they know what church you go to, you're an example of what the church is all about. Ouch. Yeah, Mark Bain, he says, okay, everybody say ouch and amen. Yeah, I love that. He does, okay. Because it does, I mean, it puts us on the spot. Now we're in the spotlight. And I talked last week about having passion. People watch us and who we are and what we do. And it's not just when we show up here on Sunday, because the majority of our life is out in the world, right? It's not just when we gather together as loving and kind and friendly people. It's a matter of the heart. And it's and where is your heart this morning? What have you given your heart to?
To Jesus.
Amen. To Jesus. That's right. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, check up on yourself, right? Remember? Check up on yourself. Examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Amen? Man, Jesus is in you. Man, that should right there clear any fear in your life, any anxiety in your life. Right? Because Christ is in you. Man, I've got a bunch of questions, so I got to get through this. Am I real at work? Let's talk about that. I know. I worked in the real world for a long time in the construction field. I've worked around a bunch of guys that were rough. And they weren't Christians. And I worked with them every day. I was in the military for 6 years. I've heard words. When I joined the military, I heard words I didn't know existed. I did. I'm like, I'd never heard that before. I thought I'd been, you know, I heard a lot of things, but that's a new one. I've been called a lot of things I'd never been called before. That still happens from time to time, you know.
Yeah.
Being a pastor is kind of, you know, you get called a lot of things.
But they don't stop them calling jobs.
I know how the work site can be sometimes. And in Philippians 4:13, though, clears it all up. It says, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Right? Matthew 19:26 says, Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Let me tell you, you can live an authentic, genuine Christian life no matter where you're at and who you're around and what circumstances you're thrown into. Just because you're in a group of people who are unchristian, unsanctified, you just... You can still be real in front of them. Jesus did. Jesus ate with sinners, but what He didn't do was what? Sin with them, right? I'm 100% convinced that God can enable you to live the life that He called you to live no matter where you're at or what circumstance you're in. And God helps us to... He raises us up above evil. He does. He can help us avoid inappropriate relationships. He can clean up our mouths. We can learn to say no. We can walk away when they tell dirty jokes. Come on.
Amen.
Sad part about that happens sometimes in the church. It's sad when you got to walk away from conversations in a church because it's become inappropriate.
Yeah, okay.
Number three, am I real at church? People tend to put on their Sunday best. Man, I'll put my best on when I go to church. Best, but sometimes even they put on their best in the terms of behavior too. But you know, there's nothing worse than an artificial plastic Christian too. Through the years, I've been humbled to see some amazing demonstrations of authentic Christian living. I've seen people, known people who are just amazing, inspiring, great examples. People that truly reflected who Christ had called them to be. Consistent. On the other hand, I've also seen some things out of people that were very disappointing. Very disappointing. Heartbreaking. I've heard stories, seen things. I've thought, man, how can a Christian say that? In church. How on earth can a Christian act like that? You know, and I wonder about people who are on the fence with God when they see that same behavior. Is that drawing them closer to God, or is it they're looking at that and going, I don't want that. That's not real. Well, you guys are quiet today. Have you guys ever seen things like that in your life? You have, haven't you? I know that we're not perfect. Every now and then we lose our cool. You know, I've told you that. You know? I'm not perfect. Sometimes I get aggravated at my wife sometimes. She gets aggravated at me sometimes. Do you know what? I go to bed, or go in the other room, I go out in the yard, or further. Take a big deep breath, say, praise God. Then I'm reminded, God floods me with all these good memories of the life that we've shared together, and I'm like, all right, I go back in the house, or, you know, it's all good. Sometimes I have to sleep on it. But it's all good. But it's that way with other things too. Sometimes, you know, I may make you mad one of these days by something I say. I'm just apologizing before it happens. All right? And if I do, I'm sorry. Sometimes it may be true and sometimes not. So I'm telling you, authentic Christians aren't perfect. Okay? But they're real. We're just real people living in a real world, serving a real God, trying to get to a real eternity in heaven. We're real people. I could talk about our faults and flaws all day long, couldn't I? We're good at that. We can learn a lot about the maturity of a person, the depth and authenticity by how people respond to circumstances. The big thing is do people come back to their behavior? Do they confess it? Are they remorseful? Do they make it amends when it's needed, or do they just go on their own way with no remorse until they blow up the next time? You see, every church, there are at least four groups of people. The spiritual mature, that doesn't necessarily mean age, or who's the oldest in the church, or who's even been here the longest. There's also the spiritually immature. That's usually directed towards people who just really haven't quite made that step yet. They're testing it. They're in the water, but not very deep. Not really believing at all. They want to. They're just really not committed. There's another group that's in the middle someplace. They're growing in their faith, but just not quite there. Sometimes they just kind of hang out there for a long time. I've seen people that have been in the church 30 years that are still very immature. They've not grown very much. They're just kind of stunted because they're not getting fed. They're not learning. They're not wanting to grow. They're not reading their Bibles as they should. They're just existing. Sure, they go to church and all that, but they're just still no more mature than the day they got saved, 30 years later. I know people like that. He wants us to be like Him. God's goal for every Christian is for us to be like Jesus. That's a lifetime of learning. Trials and hardships. And the problem is with most of us is or people that are in the middle of those who most would consider to be spiritually mature, at least, is the problem is they can lose their selves. They start going through the motions. In other words, what I'm saying. Year after year after year, just going through the motions. Galatians 5, he said, when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, you hear that? When the Holy Spirit controls your lives, that's when you produce all kinds of good fruit. When you allow the Holy Spirit to control your life, the love and the joy and the peace and the patience, those things that are hard to deal with, the goodness, the kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and most of all, self-control. I think that's why he left that one at the end. If you get self-control, you can probably have all the rest of them. Those qualities are evidence, right? Of what a mature Christ follower is all about. A lot of people today think that the Bible says that we should never judge. Let me go and meet something. We talk about this. Actually, it doesn't. A passage in the Bible, they're many times misunderstood or misinterpreted. And what it says, we are to judge a righteous judgment. That's what Scripture says. And I think the biggest problem is we're afraid to say anything at all or say anything that's black and white, and we don't want to call anything right or wrong or to offend somebody because we're scared we're going to offend somebody. And people are more concerned with the present more so than the future of someone's eternity. And we're to hate sin, but we're also to love the sinner. And as the old song says, love hurts. It's not in your hymnal. Some of you will get it in a minute. You'll think back through the dusty hallways of your mind and pick that one up. Sometimes we have to tell the truth. And that's not being judgmental. That's just being truthful. Jesus was truthful. That's a righteous judgment. When we see people, churches that are not authentic, that's why Paul was saying, don't have anything to do with them. Just get away from them. Don't be around people like that, because guess what? They're going to lead you right into their situation, and you're not going to be authentic or genuine either. Matthew 7:16 says this, by their fruit you will recognize them. How do you know what kind of fruit they're bearing? How do you know that? If you don't make a judgment, right? You don't know unless you make that judgment. You have to judge. You have to know whether this is an apple or an orange. It's the same with me as your pastor. Anybody you listen to on YouTube, anybody that preaches the gospel, you have to know whether this is real or it's not. That's the accountability. But is it just on the pastor? No, it's on every one of us that are Christ followers. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, check up on yourselves. Are you really Christians? Do you pass the test? Do you feel Christ's presence and power more within you? Or are you just pretending to be Christians when actually you aren't at all? Am I real in this community? What does authentic Christian living look like outside the community or out in the community? How does authentic Christian, how do we act? How do we treat people in the community? How do we treat our waitress or waiter? How do we treat the person checking us out at the grocery store, unless you go to Walmart and you got to check yourself out, and you still get mad at the thing, you know? You know, how does authentic Christians treat people within their community? There's a whole list of things I could say. You know, Election Day's coming. Tuesday, right? Big day. Not Super Tuesday. Just our Tuesday. Right? You're like, where is he going with this? What does it mean to be an authentic Christian on Election Day? Now I'm getting really nosy, aren't I? Huh? It makes a difference as to what you support. And it most definitely will determine who you vote for. Man, there's a lot of things going on in this world today that we know is not right. You know it's not right. And it is so hard to look at choices that you have and say, well, this person's better than this person. That's hard. Harder now, I think, than it's ever been. But an authentic Christian, it will change who you vote for. What things that you will support and not support. Where do our biblical values, where's our moral standard? Where does that come into play at? What part of our life are we willing to give up that moral standard to appease the world more so than to please God? You remember the scripture that I read at the beginning? What Paul said. I'm going to go back up here and read that. I got to. Second Timothy 3:1-9 says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. You hear me? I believe right now, we're in these days. Hear me? There will be terrible times in these last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud. Oh, we have a pride movement now greater than we've ever seen before. People are proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. Kids, boy, that got their attention. They're like, what? Kids, let me tell you, I was disobedient to my parents too when I was a kid. That's why I'm tall. My dad kicked my butt a few times. Raised me up above this world. I'll lift you up. He never was abusive to me. My dad was a very loving father. But he kept me in line. He kept me in line. He just worked me and my brother so much we didn't have time to get in trouble. And there's nothing wrong with that either. He wasn't afraid to say no. He wasn't. I didn't like that word because I knew if I asked something, that was what I was gun shy of. I'd go, Dad, no. It's like, you don't even know what I'm going to ask. No. He was good at it.
Of course, I guess you can do it if you can find it in the Bible.
Yeah. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful. Ungrateful. Unholy. Man, just look around. Unholiness. Without love. People hate each other just because of even political things. No other reason. They don't even know you. They just hate you because... Not lovers of good. Man. Treacherous. Rash. I don't know, rash. That's, I don't know. Conceited. It's all about me, isn't it? This world. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. I see so many people who just run. Just so makes them happy. And yet, a lot of our churches suffer. A lot of our churches suffer. Having a form of godliness. Oh, I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. But you watch their Facebook apps, and you'll see real quick where their love really is at. It's not for God. They have a form of godliness. And that's what Paul says, Timothy, have nothing to do with them. That's harsh, isn't it? Let me finish up. You guys, man, you guys are really helping me out today. You're encouraging. You guys are not going to talk to me for a week. I'll wait. I'll see you next Sunday. Here's the last one. Are you real when you're alone? And I'll quit. I know I could preach about this all day. I like to preach. Can you live a holy life even when absolutely no one's looking? In those midnight hours, what do you see on the internet? Who are you communicating with? Have you, you know, what do you do when nobody's looking? You know, so many people don't take advantage of this wonderful support group that we have here, the body of Christ. The counseling from each other, the friendship from each other, the prayers from each other, the fellow of all of us together as fellow travelers on this journey. That's what we're here for, right? We're fighting the same battle. Come on. Real Christians, we need to help each other live this life that God has called us to live. Amen? An authentic Christian might be defined as a Christian who is what he is or she appears to be. They tell the truth all the time. They're the same in private as they are in public. They keep their word at all costs. They put on no facades. They're not fake. They're the real deal. They're authentic and genuine. And I wonder how many of us here this morning can claim that today. How many of us this morning have had an encounter with Jesus Christ so strong that you know that it's real? Amen? There's no doubt. If you want to see something real happen in your life, I can only point you to Jesus Christ. I can't change you. Only Jesus can do that. And if you really want to be a real, authentic, genuine Christian, Jesus is the answer to that. The signs of a genuine, authentic Christian or a Christ has forgiven you. You've accepted Him as your Savior, and you're walking in the light of His Word. And that's every day. Amen. Everywhere you go. Authentic is not about altering your circumstances. It's about altering you and refining in you the image of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 13:5, and I'm going to leave you with this again. I hope you remember this one. I've said it four times. Test yourselves. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Jesus is in you? Amen? Unless, of course, you fail the test. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I pray, Lord, that everyone here that's here this morning leaves here better than they came because they've got more of You in their life. That they've received You into their life and they've... Lord, that's my prayer. That they're walking by the Spirit and people will see them and know that You belong to them because of who they belong to. The fruit that they produce will be of You. Love. Lord, I thank You for this great group of people that You've put me around who help me every day. Lord, let us leave here again better than we came, filled with the Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.